Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. As you may have been hearing in the news, cyber attacks have disabled some computer networks in the United States and South Korea over the last few days and seem to have resumed in South Korea again today. These include government computers, private sector computers. While the attacks have been called amateurish, their success may signal weaknesses in the security of the systems that we rely on more and more. And who's behind the attacks anyway? North Korea is one theory, but nobody's proved it. Joining me to talk about the attacks is Siobhan Gorman, intelligence and homeland security correspondent at The Wall Street Journal. This is their lead story in the journal today. Siobhan, welcome back to WNYC. Hi.
Good to be with you. Hi.
Tell us more about which sites were targeted in these attacks.
On the U.S. side or on the Korean side?
Well, start on the U.S. side.
On the U.S. side, it was a fairly wide range of U.S. government computer websites, as well as a couple Wall Street websites and a few corporate websites. On the Wall Street side, it was the New York Stock Exchange and NASDAQ, as well as one bank, U.S. Bank, which might be just because of the name. In the commercial sector, we saw Amazon.com being targeted, as well as a few other companies. Although on the corporate side, there was little sort of notice that the attacks had actually happened. They seemed to basically be able to withstand the bombardment of attacks.
I believe Yahoo's finance section as well, and the Treasury Department and the Secret Service and the Federal Trade Commission. Also the Washington Post, but curiously not the Wall Street Journal.
actually, Market Watch, which is a Dow Jones publication, was hit.
So does something tie these all together? It looks like somebody was going primarily after the financial sector establishment, private sector and public sector.
Yeah, that's basically it. I mean, they picked either, you know, pretty key governmental entities as well as important financial entities and some well-known commercial entities, something like Amazon.com or websites like Yahoo Finance. That does seem to be the target list. It is a target list of a virus that had been spreading previously, and this is a variant on that. The virus is called MyDoom, of all things.
And how does MyDoom work? What does a user experience if their computer is infected with MyDoom?
Well, the funny thing is the user doesn't really experience much of anything if their computer is infected with MyDoom. What happens is the attacker will send out the MyDoom virus, which will sort of worm its way throughout various computers on the Internet. And in this case, it appears from some initial research to have attacked computers primarily in China, Australia, and a lot in South Korea. And what it does is it infects computers, and the computers don't even know that they're infected. And what it does is it basically puts them on a sort of a remote control so that the attacker can remotely command these tens of thousands of computers that the virus has infected to go do whatever it likes. And in this case, it was commanded to do what is called a denial of service attack on these various U.S. and South Korean websites.
So what's the best guess as to who is behind this and why?
Well, the most intriguing theory is North Korea. There hasn't been any actual evidence to point to that yet. South Korean intelligence officials have been somewhat aggressive in looking at North Korea and, kind of alluding to the fact that they believe North Korea is behind it. U.S. officials have been a little bit more reserved, perhaps for obvious reasons, but they are definitely looking at possible North Korean connections. The thing is that it's so hard to attribute these kinds of attacks. I mean, it's very easy to sort of fake your identity in cyberspace, and someone could even make it appear like the attack somehow originated in North Korea, but it really originated in Ukraine or Russia or something like that. So people were cautioning me yesterday that they may never know who was really behind the attack.
Is South Korea the only country other than the United States that's been attacked?
So far as we know, yes. And this is based on people who sort of reverse engineered the target list based on sort of picking apart the software that was used for the virus. So we're pretty confident that it's around 30 or so websites that were targeted just in South Korea.
And what websites were those?
In South Korea?
Uh-huh.
Largely government and banking sites. South Korea seems to certainly have been hit much harder than the U.S. In fact, there seems to have been a second wave of them. It's hard to deal with the time zones, but it was, I think, shortly after 6 p.m. Their time, they got a new wave where banks were hit. In fact, South Korea's, I think, largest bank was hit again. And the tough thing is that when these kinds of attacks hit something like a bank, that can disrupt service because banks use their internet sites to interface with the public. And South Korea is a very well-wired country, and so that could create some real problems. In the U.S., it was really more of an annoyance than a real problem for the entities that were hit.
I read one conspiracy theory that suggests these attacks may be a distraction for another less showy attack, like get all the IT guys working on these botnet attacks and they don't notice what else is going on. Have you heard that?
Yes. Several people mentioned that to me today. A common sort of technique that some hackers will use is to sort of launch a very large, showy, clunky, loud attack. And this would kind of qualify as that because it was the kind of thing that would be noticeable to the public and would, you know, raise alarm bells and things like that, which would then distract everybody while they went and inserted software that could steal data, steal money, and do far more damaging things to these entities that were attacked.
So have we learned anything from these attacks about how effective the security is at places like the Treasury Department and Wall Street Journal, Dow Jones, Market Watch?
Well, some of the people I spoke with yesterday, their main concern was not so much the impact of the specific attack, but what it did say about the defenses of the companies whose websites were attacked and were attacked successfully. I mean, the White House really had very minimal impact. It was, perhaps if there were some people surfing the internet in Asia for a time and they really wanted to get to the whitehouse.gov website, they had trouble doing it. But everywhere else in the world, it was perfectly fine to access the White House website. So they withstood the attack pretty well. Other places like Treasury or the Federal Trade Commission or the Transportation Department did seem to have much greater problems, and that raised some questions just about what their overall defensive posture is. If something that is a very unsophisticated attack like this one can take it down, then how on earth could they respond to more sophisticated attacks?
Listeners, have you been working on a computer that's been affected by these cyber attacks? Do you have a theory about who staged the attacks and why? Post them to our webpage, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And Siobhan, President Obama announced plans to appoint a cybersecurity czar earlier this year. Where is he with that?
He doesn't seem to have made very visible progress. My understanding is that they've reached out to a number of people, particularly people who previously worked in government on cybersecurity issues, as well as people who worked in the private sector on cybersecurity issues, and they found no takers. Some people have suggested it's because of the way they've structured this job, because they have to report to many masters within the White House, both at the National Security Council and the National Economic Council. There's also been at the Pentagon a new launch of a new cyber command, which will be headed by the director of NSA. And so there's been some wariness that the person who is going to take this White House position will be constantly dealing with kind of internal battles, and that may be less attractive to some people. But that's really more speculation than anything else. But it is true that they've not yet found someone to take the job.
Why this battle? This battle over whether a cybersecurity czar would report to the Homeland Security Secretary or directly to the president. Is it just a turf war?
There are legitimate questions about the best way to structure control over cybersecurity policy within the executive branch. The reason being that there are so many, every agency of the federal government has some hand in cybersecurity because they all are incredibly reliant on computer networks. And one thing that the Bush administration discovered was that it was incredibly difficult to corral all of the different agencies, particularly the ones who deal with this problem primarily, which would be the Defense Department Department, Department of Homeland Security, and a lot of the intelligence agencies, getting them all working on the same page proved very difficult. And so the Obama administration came in and they said, we want a strong position at the White House who will get all of these folks in line. And now there are questions about whether the structure that they have happened upon, which is kind of having this dual bosses within the White House, whether or not that will actually accomplish the job. And of course, we won't know until somebody's appointed and they move ahead with their responsibilities.
Siobhan Gorman, intelligence and homeland security correspondent at the Wall Street Journal, on the cyber attacks, which apparently have resumed today, at least in South Korea. We will see what happens next. Thanks a lot for coming on.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And coming up next, we'll start a summer series for our unemployed listeners with Nick Korkadilis, better known as Ask the Headhunter. Today we will ask, should you become a consultant? Stay with us.